Fresh Oil.
It's time for Fresh Oil with singer-songwriter and pastor Keith Manley, a program designed to minister the gospel of God's grace and to bring fresh oil to the brokenhearted. Now, with today's program, Pastor Keith Manley.
Hello, friend. Welcome to another edition of Fresh Oil. I'm Keith Manley, and today I want to share with you one of the most beautiful verses in all the Bible. It would be Psalm 23. The first couple of verses say, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters." I believe today a common problem that's really happening among many people is that we get so busy, we become workaholics. And what happens is we get so busy that we burn out. I remember a time going into the doctor and saying, "Doctor, I don't know what's wrong with me, and I'm just really having some anxiety." And he said, "Well, Keith, tell me what you do." And I began to list, "Well, I pastor a church, it's growing. I'm also host of a daily radio program. I have a television program, and I'm chaplain at a hospital. I'm chaplain for the police department. I write and record my music." And he's like, "Hold on." And he began saying, "You're going to have to slow down. You're going to have to cross some things out on your list." I want to give you a biblical prescription today for people that are under a lot of pressure. And they're saying, "Keith, I'm feeling burnout." You see, before we begin today, I want to give you a quiz to find out if you're a workaholic. Are you always in a hurry? Is your to-do list unrealistic? Do you use your days off just to catch up on your unfinished work? Has more than one person told you to slow down? Or do you feel guilty when you take time off? If the answer to those questions are yes, then you probably need to listen today, because God has caused this program to be on this day for you. I think all of us know the story of Martha and Mary and Lazarus. It's found in Luke chapter 10. In verse 38, it says, "As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the feet of Jesus listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. And she came to him and asked, 'Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me.' Listen to the reply of Jesus. 'Martha, Martha,' the Lord answered." I remember when I was a boy, if my mom called my name twice, I knew I was in trouble. "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." See, friend, we get so busy doing the urgent things that we miss doing the important things. Do you feel like Martha sometimes, where you're so busy, you know, cumbered about doing so many things, you think this is the kind of life God wants for you? But it's not. He said in Psalm 127, verse 2, he said, "In vain you rise early and you stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those he loves." See, God is telling us here that if we're burning the candle at both ends, we're not nearly as bright as we think we are. Sometimes the most spiritual thing we can do is to go home and go to bed. Get some rest. See, God wants to work with us, but he doesn't want us to be so busy trying to work for him that we end up working ourselves into a frenzy. In Psalm 23, verse 2, you know what it says? "He makes me lie down in green pastures." He goes on to say, "He leads me beside the still waters," or the quiet waters. Friend, maybe today, by you listening to this program, God is leading you beside the still waters. Maybe God has brought you to hear this today, and so you can learn to rest in him. I notice it said, "He makes me lie down." I've had the doctor or a physical therapist say to me before, "Relax," and I'm like, "I am relaxing." They're like, "No, you're not. It doesn't come natural," I'll say. "It's hard for me to relax." Can you imagine a group of sheep that are being led to green pastures and still waters, and they're telling each other, "Boy, it doesn't get any better than this." The psalmist is letting us know here that God is interested in our rest and recuperation. It's important to God. Now, a CNN poll reported a while back that 59% of all Americans said they would like to slow down and relax. And yet a Harris poll came out saying that we have 8.5 fewer hours of leisure time a week than we had a decade ago. In other words, we're working more and we're enjoying it less. So today I want to give you a prescription for those people who need to relax. The first thing, you need to understand your worth. I don't mean how much money you have in the bank or your 401k. I mean your value to God and to your family and your church. If I'm going to relax the way God wants me to relax, then I need to realize my worth. Why? The reason most people overwork is because they confuse their work with their worth. We think that if we work a whole lot and we achieve a whole lot, that we're worth more. See, they confuse what we do with who we are. You see, in America, we get our primary identity from what we do. Think about it. When you walk into a business or you're meeting somebody for the very first time, what's one of the first questions you ask them? What do you do for a living? I guess if he says, I'm a brain surgeon, we think he's worth a lot. But if he says, I park cars, then we don't want him coming around to date my daughter. We think we get our worth by our work. But that's not what the Bible teaches us. The Bible says that you're worth something no matter what your job is. Now, perhaps you grew up with people telling you that you were a nobody. You may have been told that by a teacher or parents or friends, that you were never going to amount to anything. You were too dumb. I'll never forget when a father in my church came up one day and he said, I don't understand this, Pastor Keith. My son was a great student, but all of a sudden he's failing in school. And I talked to him about it, but it's not changing. Can you help? So the son came to my office for counseling. And I began to try to get to the root of the problem. And I asked him a few questions. And finally, he told me that a teacher said to him one day that he was worthless. The teacher said to him, you're never going to be anything. And you know what? He believed that teacher. He began to think what her thoughts were, that he was not going to be anything. And so he became the very thing that she told him he was. Stupid. But we often develop our worth by the opinions that others have of us. You know, I prayed with that young boy that day. I broke those words that were spoken over him. It was not long. Just a few months later, the father comes to me and says, wow, my son is back on the honor roll. I don't know what you said to him, Pastor, but whatever it was, it changed him. See, we often develop our self-worth by the opinions that others have of us. And so the real reason we overwork ourselves is because we're trying to prove that we will succeed and that we will achieve something in this life and accomplish something. Even years later, we hear that inner voice saying you have to keep paddling. Somebody might get ahead of you. What's the anecdote to this? The anecdote is to realize what God said about you. Here's what God said in James 1:18. It says God chose to give us life through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. The word first fruits here, God says that we matter more than all of creation. God doesn't make junk. We're the best of what he created. When you realize how much you mean to God, it'll change your life and it'll put a pep in your step. You realize if God likes me and I like me, what does it matter what people think? You don't need the approval of other people to be happy when you realize how important you are to God. I love Matthew 6 where Jesus said, look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? My friend, if God takes care of the birds, don't you think he'll take care of you? How more valuable are you than they? Friend, do you know how much God loves you? He said in Isaiah chapter 49 and verse 16, I've engraved you on the palms of my hands. Jesus died on the cross so that I could have life and have it more abundantly. You can relax, friend, when you know how much God loves you. The second part of my prescription today for you who need to learn to relax, you need to appreciate what you already have. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 13, it says, "And also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God." You know, sometimes we can get so preoccupied with getting more that we don't enjoy what we have. Can you be so busy with your desire to acquire that you don't stop and appreciate what you already have in your garage, what you already have in your home? A lot of our unhappiness centers on the desire to just get more. We think we have to be like the neighbor and have a bigger house or a finer car. Is that really the way God wants us to live? I don't think so. He said in Ecclesiastes 4 and verse 6, it says, It is better to have only a little with peace of mind than to be busy all the time. I don't know. I believe in the sovereignty of God. I believe the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. So I have to believe that He ordained for you to be listening to this program today. Maybe you'd say, "Pastor Keith, that's me. It's better to have only a little with peace of mind than to be so busy all the time." God's telling us here that the greatest thing in life is not things. As a pastor, I've stood beside many deathbeds. I've preached the funerals for so many people over the past 40 years. And I would have to say that of all the people I have seen die, I never heard one person say, "I wish I had spent more time on my job." I've heard them say, "I wish I had spent more time with my kids or my wife," or that, "I wish I would have had better priorities in my life." See, God's telling us the best things in life, they're not things at all. God's message for us is this: enjoy what I've given you, but don't be so concerned with getting more all the time. I've learned to be content in each and every situation, the Bible says. The third thing you need to get as your prescription today is you need to restrict your workload. I have to make a conscious decision to make time for other things besides work. I have to decide how many hours I realistically want to work and then stick to that. I also need to schedule time for myself and my family and time to be alone with God, because those things are important. There was a man by the name of Charles Hummel who wrote a book called The Tyranny of the Urgent. And he said that the urgent things demand our attention. That are those are the things that come up and say, "Do this right now." But many times we neglect the important things because we're trying to do the urgent things. What does God say about limiting our work? In Exodus 20 and verse 19, He said, "6 days shall you labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God." Basically, God's telling us that one day of each week, that's His rule, one day of each week, you got to stop and give that day to the Lord. It's to be a day of rest. This is how serious God takes this subject of rest. He says, "Have a Sabbath." It means have a rest. The Sabbath, Bible says in Mark chapter 2, Jesus told the people, the Sabbath was made for man, not man the Sabbath. Now, what do you do on the Sabbath? I believe there are three things we do. On the Sabbath, I believe we rest our body. I believe we recharge our emotions. And I believe we refocus our spirit. Did you get that now? Rest your body, recharge your emotions, and then refocus your spirit. The Bible calls that worship. If you're too busy for God, friend, you're just too busy. And then the last thing we need to remember is we need to change our idea of what is important. In Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and verse 4, he said, "I saw that all labor and all achievement spring from man's envy of his neighbor. This too is meaningless, a chasing after the wind." Friends, sometimes we have to stop and ask ourselves, are we taking time to rest? Are we allowing ourselves to be caught up in this rat race that the world gets into? Mark 8:36, "What good is it for a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul?" Friend, thank you for listening today on this edition of Fresh Oil. God loves you, friend, and we appreciate you listening each and every weekday. God bless you. Walk in grace.